praise the Lord. Sometimes we get in a hurry just to kind of push forward and move on to the next thing on an agenda. And sometimes we'll be better off just to kind of relax. Is that all right? You can go ahead and take a seat if you'd like. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm all right. I think I'll just stick with this one. I'll take it. Just in case. Yeah, who knows? This one may mess up on me a little bit later, too. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you guys can feel free to step down. Thanks so much. Wow. Thank you. What a sweet and precious anointing in our music service this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's not ever take that for granted, huh? Let's just recognize that there's prayer and time and practice and thought that goes into all of that. And we thank you. We thank you and we bless you for blessing us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to get into a message specifically geared for today in just a minute. There's a few housekeeping items I want to take care of. First off, I've got this gift here in front of here. It's got a 2017 written on it there. I'm thinking it's for our youth pastor. Is that correct? Yeah, he graduated just yesterday. Yeah. There you are, sir. We want you to know that this is only a very small way that we can express our appreciation. I have kids in the youth group, and I cannot express to you my heart and how much I appreciate you pouring your life and your effort and your prayers and your teaching and just pouring into their life. And Sam, thank you so much. You guys are just such a blessing to us, and I think we're positioned for better things. So you guys plan to stick around a while. Amen. Congratulations, by the way. Congratulations. You want to let the folks know what feel free if you'd like. Is that all right? All right. Check it out and see. The new Matthew Henrys. Hey, actually Matthew Henry, if you guys know anything, yeah, she was. Yeah, if you guys know anything about about ministers and their libraries, that one is a must-have. It's almost like you've not even started to put together your minister's library until you get one of those. So hopefully this will be a launching pad for you.
God's choosing. His hands formed you and made you into the person that you are. He compares you to no one else, and you are one of a kind. This is a special time, I just get to, stand on, and just on the accomplishments that, God's allowed me to, partake in. Yesterday, graduated from Liberty with a youth ministry degree, and then I also commissioned as a second lieutenant in the United States Army on Friday. Thank you. If it's okay, could I give a quick testimony? Yeah, so I'd love to just give a testimony to the Lord real quick, because I'm only here by His grace. So 4 years ago, I just graduated from high school. I had a lot of ambition and ready to take on the world. And I remember thinking to myself, I said, why do I really need to go to college? Like, I feel like I've got, just enough knowledge. I need to know everything I need to know to take on this world. And, how young and silly that is. And, as the, more knowledge you expand, everything else that you don't know expands as well. But yeah, I was actually enrolled at Marion Military Institute, trying to get a prep school scholarship to go to the Naval Academy and wrestle of some sort. But that summer, my senior summer, God had just touched my life and changed it forever. And I ended up winning and I gave my life to the Lord and ended up getting a scholarship to Liberty University. And just in a month and a half, I ventured out there to Liberty University, came here by myself, getting a taste of God for the first time. And I just stood on His promises and just feeling His presence. And I stepped into Liberty University. And I was like, wow, God, I feel this calling to ministry, and I've got no idea what that looks like, but I'm going to go for it. And and I remember praying, sitting in one of my church ministries classes, and the professor said, if you guys are truly called to ministry, you guys better start serving now. get plugged in, get volunteering somewhere. I said, Lord, lead me to a church that that I can begin serving at. And I had gone to Thomas Road, I had gone to Brentwood, and all these churches that are just dominated by college students and their criticalness. Oh, I didn't like the worship. I didn't like the pastor's message. I didn't have enough flashy lights or anything. I said, Lord, I don't want any of that. I just want a church that has, a variety of everybody. And I look at this church, and this is where God led me here to Love and Truth Community Church. And I thank you guys so much. This place has been just a place of spiritual growth and so much maturity. And you guys have taught me so much just sitting underneath you guys' teaching. I remember coming in my first Sunday and just sitting right here. I haven't moved much, as you guys notice. I sit here every Sunday. We're creatures of habit. And I remember standing behind Pastor Foshi, and we're worshiping, and he said, he turns around to me. He said, God told me to turn around if I wanted to find a youth pastor. And I said, I'll turn around and help look for him too. And man, I was less than a year old Christian at this time, but a year down the road, year and a half, the Lord was ready for me to step into that position, and I've been serving here faithfully. And also, I don't know if it was that Sunday or another Sunday, standing here shaking hands, and I locked eyes with Sam, and a year after that, we're dating. A year after that, we're getting engaged, and 12 days from now, we're getting married. So I think back to these last 4 years, and man, you guys have been just family to me. I mean, my family has moved to Montana, and you guys have just, man, you guys have let me come to your house and eat your food, and man, that means so much to me. And, eat the word of God, and I just got to devour that and grow so much here. And I found my wife here and so many relationships, and just to receive and to pour out to so many of you. This place has been such a blessing to me. So I'm looking forward to what the Lord has in store. And so thank you so much for just adopting me into your family here and just, growing in the Lord together. So let's continue in his good deeds and serving him. And Pastor Ron, man, I just want to thank you so much for everything you've taught me. And I'm looking forward to sitting underneath your leadership and serving you and your vision as God leads you. So thank you.
All right. Well, thank God. Amen. Well, in case, yeah, go ahead and gather up all your stuff there. You got everything? You sure? Let's see. Well, you can't have that. That belongs to God. In case you just wandered in today, or in case you were wondering, we are a Pentecostal church. Now, it doesn't mean we're weird, doesn't mean we're strange, we don't have any chandeliers, so we won't be swinging from those, and I don't plan on rolling around on the floor unless there's a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, you'll know there's a prompting of the Holy Spirit if you see me rolling around on the floor, and I hope it's that way with you as well. But what that does mean is that we believe in a full expression. We believe that God is still active and moving in many of the ways that others have moved on from. There's some that just feel, well, that was for that time. We don't believe that's for this time. We believe the whole Bible is for the whole of the church all of the time. Now, of course, when Christ comes, we won't have need for prophecy. When we're in the eternity with him, we won't have need for words of wisdom, for we will be in the presence of wisdom itself. However, until that comes, we believe that God intends for all of the gifts to be in operation within the body of Christ, because he gave all of those gifts to us to build us up and edify us and to prepare us and equip us for effective ministry. And so we embrace that, and we not only believe it, we actually invite it and we encourage it in our presence. So with that said, I was contacted earlier this week through my wife, and then confirmed to me this morning. There's someone that in their prayer and in their time of spending some time with the Lord this week felt that God laid a special word on their heart. And as, again, we're gonna put our faith, we're gonna put our belief into practice. We're gonna thank God for speaking to us with a word directly towards us. Now, we're gonna have the preaching here in just a minute. This one is what this is gravy. This is gravy. All right, this is just a little something extra. This is because there's someone who needs to hear this, and it might just be me, so I'm going to pay real close attention. Sister Amy, come on up here and share what the Lord has placed on your heart.
Praise God. I just wanted to take a few minutes for us to pray together for mothers and women and wives. God has been leaning a lot on my heart. And I thank God for the pastor's wife, for the passion that she has also for women in prayer. So what a, you know, better day to pray for moms and for women. You know, Pastor was sharing something last Sunday about prayer. Like God is calling all of us to prayer and supplication and intercession. So I would, if you don't mind, for us to just stand and take a few minutes and practice what we've been taught all through this period. Jesus walking into the temple said to them when they were buying and selling, and angrily he turned tables around and he flogged men out of his father's house, and he said, "My father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." The church is God's house of prayer, and so we're going to practice a bit of that today. I'm just going to direct some of this to the women. If you look at what's happening around the world, you would realize that God made us women for a special purpose, right? We have wombs that we bear physical children with, but God also intends that we carry in those wombs spiritual children, that we birth the purpose of Christ on the earth. In Isaiah 66, the Lord was saying, shall a woman conceive and not bring to bear? And as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her man-child. So we're going to be praying for women today that God will impregnate us with his purpose, that God will fill us with his burden. If you look around, there are many of our children who are not saved. There are many of our children who do not know the Lord, and they are going every day into a Christless eternity, an eternity without Jesus. So we're going to ask the Lord to impregnate us with prayer burden for them until Christ is formed in them. Until they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, we will not keep silent. So why don't you open your mouth and pray for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren, for your siblings, your brothers and sisters who do not know the Lord. There's no reason to come to church when members of our families don't know the Lord. Our children can't even come to church. Like, we've lost control of them. They're just living their lives anyhow they want, and we're just going to heaven all by ourselves, and these ones are headed to hell. I want to pray that God will burden us with a prayer burden for these ones until they come back. The prodigal son, the father was looking. If you remember, the Bible says, while he was yet afar off, his father saw him. So he never stopped looking out for him. While he was gone, he never stopped coming to that window and looking out for the son and praying that the son will come home. It doesn't matter how long it is. So please pray. Let's open our mouths and just pray for a few minutes that, Lord, you will bring our children back to you. Some of them are in church. They come to church every Sunday, but do they know Jesus? Do they have a relationship with the Lord? Can you open your mouth and pray? My house will be called the house of prayer. We come to the church of God to pray, to war, to intercede, to bring the will of God and to say, thy will be done on earth, O God, as it is in heaven. Lord, this is our prayer, O God. Thus far and no more. Thus far and no more, O God. Father, we call our children back home, O God. Father, we call our grandchildren back home, O God. They will serve you, O God. We call them, O God, with you, nothing is impossible. Lord, for wherever they have gone, how far they have gone. They may have gone like the prodigal son to a far land, oh God. We call them home, oh God. We call them back to their senses, oh God. Lord, we pray that they will return to Jesus, oh God. May they say to themselves, I will arise and go to my father's house, and I will say, Father, I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy, and Jesus will receive them again. Father, we pray, oh God, that you will pour out your spirit upon them, oh God. Jesus, oh God, that you baptize them with the spirit of repentance, oh God. In the name of Jesus. In Genesis, in the book of Genesis, after man fell into sin, and God brought the curses, he said to the serpent, because you have done this, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and you shall bruise her heel, and she shall bruise your head. Let me tell you something, church. The devil has had room in your home and in your children because you have allowed him to bite your heel. The moment you step that foot up and crush his head, his domain, his reign in your home is over. So we're going to pray. We're tired of having our children have children out of wedlock. We're tired of having our children live their lives anyhow they want. These are the days of God's power. We're going to crush the head of Satan over our children. Every influence over them. Every ungodly influence over our children. In the colleges where they go to. In the high schools where they are. Father, we crush the head of Satan, oh God. We crush his head. He will not bite them, oh God. Even those who have been beaten, oh God. Just like the Son of Man said, if I am lifted up, if I whosoever shall look shall live. Father, we pray for those who have been beaten, oh God, that they will turn to you, oh God, that they will be healed by your cross, oh Lord. In the name of Jesus. Makapato shalakata. Likapadukalia basuntaya. Bible says the church of Jesus is marching on, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus said to Peter, the devil has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Can you pray for your family, for your husbands who have erred, for your children's spouses who are wandering in sin, and pray that the Lord will bring them back in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We await their return. We await their return in the mighty name of Jesus. Mashatalakaya. Bratlaya, one more prayer point we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the church where women, if you remember, after Jesus died and was buried, early the next morning, certain women, not men, certain women rose up, and with their spices, they went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. Women have a special role in God, in the church. We see the decay. We see the things that are happening, the powerlessness. God is calling women and wives to travail. So we're going to pray for the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide that God will raise women, praying mothers, that God will raise women who cry, who give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise on the earth, until he makes the Church of God what God has intended it to be. Can you open your mouth and pray? Call forth those women. Our son sons and daughters shall arise. Our sons and daughters will prophesy, just as the Lord has said. Father, from this church will call forth women who will pray. In their closets they will groan. They will intercede for the church. They will be the light that will shine, oh God. They will be the watchmen that will stand on the tower, oh God, and watch and hear what you have to say. In the name of Jesus. Malakalaboshata. Leke. If you have your mom close to you, can you just hold her hand? Can you hold your mother or your grandmom or whoever is close to you and pray for her? That God, that the later years of her life will be greater than the former. Put together, that God will increase her, that God will minister to her, that God will make her the woman after his heart, in the name of Jesus, that God will use her in a special way. I pray for wisdom for all mothers, oh God, wisdom to submit to our husbands, wisdom, oh God, to raise our children in the way of the Lord. Father, wisdom, oh God, to judge like Deborah. Israel was being ravaged. Israel was in bondage until a certain woman called Deborah arose. Until that, oh God, the devil was having his way in their families. But Lord, we ask for the Deborahs to arise in the name of Jesus. Have your way with us, Lord. Let your church not just be a place where we gather and make friends, but a place of power, a place of the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Have your way with us, oh God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Go ahead and take your seats. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're thankful. We're thankful that God would remind us And not just remind us. Remember, when he does, when God speaks to us in these ways, it's not just a gentle reminder. It is a forceful shove that he is leading us in particular directions. And so we're thankful. We're thankful that God is bringing us into this season of prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Amy, for your obedience and hearing from the Lord and your obedience and willing to share that with us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Man, what a wonderful day today. I'm glad all that rain has finally cleared out. I'm getting tired of it, just to be very honest with you. Now, we may be wanting a little bit of it when it gets 100 degrees in August. We may be saying, where's some of that rain? But for now, I think I'm good. Anybody else? We're good for now? Yeah, I think I'm done for now. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. I had a few things to say a few moments ago. Thank you so much for a great introduction. Fred said he wasn't sure what to call me. Listen, let's just break it down. We've all been family together for more than 5 years now. You know me. I know you. You know my wife. You know my kids. We may have done something official this week, and that's fine. And we can appreciate that, and we can go through whatever we need to go through. I get all of that. But listen, don't feel obligated to treat me or my family any different. Matter of fact, I'd ask you not to. If you're treating us differently, that means you weren't treating us properly before. And so that would be pretty telling. So I would encourage you just kind of stay the course. I'm just joking. But Fred, you said you didn't whether call me pastor or doctor or brother or just Ron. I'm just Ron. Now, if you feel like you need to add something on to that, that's fine. But I actually had someone text me this week and said, I'm not sure what to call you now. I said, just call me whatever you want to. Just make sure you call me for dinner. I'm good. Just let me know when it's time to eat, and I'm good. I do appreciate. Some of you know. I'm going to get to the message in just a minute. Stop that clock. Stop. I was 14 years old when I felt the call of God into ministry in my life. I wasn't always faithful to that. There were some times when I thought that I could outrun it. And God always reminded me that I couldn't. And so he brought me back around time and time again. Started preaching, preaching really. When I was 18 years old, I remember the first sermon I preached to those poor, poor people. They endured 15 minutes of the worst. It was horrible. I look back at it and I say they were so gracious. They didn't just get up and walk out. But 18 years old, so for 30 years now, I've been preaching in one way or another. I'm the only preacher on my whole side of the family. I mean, I come from a family of strong believers. But I'm the only preacher, the only minister, the only one felt called into ministry. I think there were some others, actually, who were called into ministry, but I'm not sure they were willing to obey. But that's between them and God. But nonetheless, I'm the only one who went through the training and who actually considers himself called and a minister of the gospel. But our life together, my wife and our life, has taken some interesting turns. We've served as missionaries for a season. Overseas, we pastored previously in North Carolina. I served as an academic dean and faculty member at a Christian school. We were associate pastors at our church before moving here. And it was actually my job, a full-time job, that brought me here to Lynchburg. And all throughout everything else I've ever done previously, there has always been a preaching and kind of a pastoral component to what we've done. And so when I moved here and the job that brought me here, it wasn't related to a church or a church ministry. It's with a Christian organization, but it's not related to a church or a church ministry at all. And I remember when I told my dad is 85 this year. In November, he'll be 85. But when I told my dad that we were coming here and that it was my job, and I told him what the job was, and he said something. He said, well, son, what about your calling? What about your calling? And that's a fair question. And so I just said, well, Dad, you know, God's word says that his call is without repentance. He's not going to change his mind about it. The call is always there. Now, how it finds manifestation at time can vary. And so even now, to this day, I mean, I work a secular job. I work more than 40 hours a week, or sometimes more than 40 hours a week, in a job that is not a part of a church or a church ministry. Again, it's a Christian agency, but it's not a church. And that's how God has chosen to provide for my family financially. But in order to remind me that he is still the Lord of my life, and that his call is still active and strong in me, and that the giftings that he has given and placed in my life to go along with that call, that he hasn't changed his mind about those things as well, he saw fit to allow us to start attending and worshiping here at Love and Truth. And so right away, Pastor Foshi and I just hit it off, and he made it a habit to call on me, either me or Brother Fred or sometimes others, but he made a habit to call on me on occasion whenever he was out of town. And it kind of was like, you preachers will know, it's kind of like it's the way that you get to scratch that preacher's itch. If you don't get to preach for a while, you just kind of start feeling antsy and anxious. I got to scratch that itch. And so I would get to come up before you on occasion and scratch that preacher's itch. And in the course of time, we all know the story. Pastor Foshi felt the Lord leading him in a direction of full-time evangelism. And here we are. God's call is without repentance. He's not changed his mind. So there'll be some times, because of the actual job that I have, there'll be some times when I can't necessarily be here all the time. Now, I do have some flexibility with my schedule. I can schedule to leave. Oh, and there was water in there, too. So sorry, whoever put that there, thank you. I better move it. I'm not able to kick it again. I have some flexibility. I can adjust my schedule and leave on a Monday instead of a Sunday, or leave on a Tuesday instead of a Saturday. And so there's some flexibility, but there'll be some times that I just can't be here. Aren't you glad that God has placed within this body folks who are more than capable, not just to preach, but to lead and to teach and to impart and to visit? And so I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that the body of Christ is strong and active and alive and gifted and doing well here at Love and Truth. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Well, we'll have some more to say in the days ahead. Just get ready. Some of you have just been sitting on desires and talents and gift, and you've just been waiting for an opportunity. Listen, you need to let somebody know. Hey, I got something in my mind. I got something in my craw. I got something I want to do for the Lord. Oh, God bless you. Look at this lady right in the middle of all of this mess. I am so, so sorry. If this is the worst thing I do, I guess I'm okay. I think I lost all of it just about. When I do it right, sis. Yeah, just go ahead and just take it out of here. It's all right. Listen, we're all family, huh? This is okay. Thank you. It's still really wet. You can't imagine how wet this thing is. Oh, man. Well, I hope it's all right. It is what it is. What are you going to do? All right. So anyway, we'll have some more to say, and we'll be calling on some of you to maybe step up in areas that you had no idea that you might be called on. It's going to take all of us. The coming of the Lord is too near for there to be any one-man shows. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is going to take all of us. He's gifted you in ways that he hasn't gifted me. And so we're going to be calling forth for those gifts to find manifestation as well. All right, is everybody ready? All right, praise the Lord. Here we go. All right. This is Mother's Day, after all. Okay, so go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to get right into the heart of today. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I did some reading recently. Surprisingly, Mother's Day, for some people, Mother's Day is one of the hardest days of the year. We have a friend of ours from Joplin. Her son was tragically killed, just a couple of months ago, three, four months ago. We had a chance to, Kim and Stephen had a chance, Stephen and this young man were good friends. Kim and Stephen had a chance to visit with this lady when we were there recently. This is her first Mother's Day without her son. He was 18 years old, tragically killed. So for some people, Mother's Day is not a pleasant occasion at all. For many of us, it is. I mean, for me, I'm thankful to my wonderful wife and the great mother that she is to our kids. My mom is still alive. I got to give her a call this afternoon. But for some people, Mother's Day is unpleasant because for some people, they've been trying for years to have children and it just hasn't happened. For some people, they have had a terrible relationship with their mothers. And so this is a holiday that reminds them and brings back some very terrible memories for them. So let's just understand that we're not in any way trying to, I don't want this to be a downer, please don't get me wrong, but let's understand that it's not all daisies for everyone, but for some folks, this is a really difficult time. And so how can we take the eternal Word of God and something that is meant for everyone, mothers, those that wish they were mothers, those that have terrible relationships with mothers, and fathers or men or children. How do we take something, the Word of God, something that is intended to benefit and bless and be of encouragement and strength to everyone, and bless our mothers and at the same time encourage everyone else who may fall between the cracks on a day like this? And I asked the Lord to give wisdom in how we could approach such a thing, and this is where I found myself. 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read several verses here. We're going to be skipping through some of the first chapter of 1 Samuel just to tell the story of a woman named Hannah. And there were several observations that I made, and so I guess if we were to give today's message a title, it would sound something like this: Observations from the Life of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Are you ready? Okay. Verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathian, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. Verse 2, he had two wives. Now, that's a whole different message right there. He had two wives. Suffice it to say, just because people did it doesn't mean it was God's design. It was never God's design for a man to have more than one wife or a woman to have more than one husband. That's never been, nor is it today, God's design. However, it is what it is. So let's read. And he had two wives, and one was called Hannah, and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up to his town to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests to the Lord. Eli was the chief priest, and his sons Hophni and Phinehas were priests who would also facilitate the sacrifice whenever people would bring sacrifice to the altar, to the temple, to the tabernacle. They would facilitate this. So you have these two priests, Hophni and Phinehas, and their father, the high priest Eli. So verse 4, whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Skipping ahead, verse 8. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Spoken like a truly clueless dad. I'm sure he meant well, but that's about it. Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons, he said. Verse 9, and when they finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. And now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you'll only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I'll give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Verse 17, Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him. And she said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. And then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord. And then they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. After he was weaned, verse 24, after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, even as young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought them to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you and prayed to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I've asked of him. And so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And she worshiped the Lord there. A heartbroken woman, heartbroken because she has no children, turns to the source of life, turns to God himself and says, just God, I just give me a son. I beg you, God, give me a son. If you'll give me a son, I promise I'll give him right back to you. He'll belong to you for the rest of his life. And God had favor and God showed mercy and he gave her a son. And she named him Samuel. Samuel meaning heard from the Lord. And she, according to what she had promised, turned around and gave him right back to God. We all know the story of Samuel, the great, great prophet of Israel, Samuel. This is his beginning. Well, how do you take such a passage as this, one that clearly relates to a heartbroken woman who was shown favor by God and who had a child and gave her, how do you take such a passage as that and make it applicable to everyone? Well, we don't want to forget that this is Mother's Day, so moms, make sure that you find yourself in this story. But for those of us that aren't mothers, or for those that wish they were mothers, or for adoptive mothers, or for those that may be mothers under circumstances that weren't exactly like you had planned when you were growing up. Listen, life is not always like we planned. Things don't always happen under the perfect set of circumstances. But even in the midst of all of that, even in the midst of all of the different ways that you may have become a mother, even in the midst of all of the circumstances of life, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a teenager, whether you wish you were a mother, wherever you are in life, understand God's word has something to say to you today. And so as I read through this passage, I saw three, maybe you see more. I would encourage you to read and pray, and maybe the Lord will open your eyes to some things. But in particular, I saw three principles that I want to point out to you. I'm very aware of the time. I'm going to be speaking fast, so that means you're going to have to listen fast. But I saw three principles here that I want to point out, especially geared towards our moms, but with the understanding that God's word applies to all of us across the board. Observation number one is simply this. It is God and God alone who chooses to give or not give children. See, God is sovereign. The Bible says right there in verse 5, even though she wanted children desperately, it said God had closed her womb. And so we have to understand that God and God alone is the source of life. This is one of the reasons that abortion is such a horrible thing. Not only because it takes the life of an innocent child, but on an even more fundamental level, one of the reasons abortion is so despised and so hated of God is because it places man in the position that belongs only to God. The determination of who lives and who dies. That's God's choice. That's God's choice. So you mean you're telling me you're against abortion? Absolutely. I'm against abortion because God is against abortion. God's word is clear that it's from the very formation, from the very time of conception, that that person in that moment made in the very image of God. But what about in cases of rape or incest? Is it any less a child? Absolutely not. Well, what about in the case where the mother's life is in jeopardy? Listen, this is pretty easy for me to be dogmatic about this because we've never faced that dilemma. And I'm not in any way saying that it wouldn't be heart-wrenching. I'm not in any way saying that there wouldn't need to be a great amount of grace and peace and comfort of God and wisdom. I'm not saying any of that. And hopefully, hope to God, we would never have to face that decision as a family. Hopefully, you've never had to face such a decision as a family. But understand this, when we decide who lives and who dies, we're placing ourselves in the very place of God, the place that belongs only to God. He alone is sovereign. He alone is sovereign. And so for those that have children, God has sovereignly allowed that to happen for you. Listen, we understand there's a biological component. We get that. But understand this, beyond that, God and God alone is the creator of life and the sustainer of life. And so for those that are blessed with children, thank God. For those that haven't been blessed with children, although your heart may be breaking, although it may be something that you anticipate and look forward to one day, understand that until God in His sovereignty decides that the time is right, His grace will be sufficient. There's no doubt about it. Hannah was heartbroken, but there's also no doubt about it. It was God in His sovereignty that decided when to open her womb and give her children. I saw another observation there. Well, before I move on, how can I take and make application of that if I'm not a mother? Well, very simply, I would encourage every one of us to learn to recognize the sovereign hand of God at work in our lives. There are some things that only God can accomplish in you. And you can educate yourself, and you can promote yourself, and you can do all of the right things and know all of the right people and be in all of the right places. But there are some things that only God and God alone can accomplish in your life. Some things belong to the hand of the sovereign God who loves you. And so there are dreams you have, and there are plans that you want to make, and there are things that you have already laid out for your life, and things that you don't understand why they haven't already happened, and certain jobs that you may have thought belonged to you but you didn't get, or certain places of ministry, but God, you've called me, and for some reason this hasn't opened up. I would say rest secure in the sovereign plan of God. And when it doesn't happen in the way that we think it ought to happen, just understand there's a sovereign, loving God at work behind the scenes. And when He's ready, nothing can stop the sovereign hand of God. The second observation that I made there is a pretty simple one, but I think it's one that needs to be reiterated in today's day. Children are a gift. They're not a burden. They're not a problem. They're not a struggle. Does that mean that they're always easy? Absolutely not. Sometimes they are just hard. Sometimes you have to walk away and catch your breath. sometimes it's easy to forget that they really are a blessing. But now here's the thing. Here's the thing. Don't get mad at me, because I understand that I was also that leech to my parents at one point. I understand that I was a problem to them sometimes. Now, I wasn't as much of a problem as my sister was. What? And so, parents, let's be mindful. You know, oh, you're mighty right. It's hard sometimes. Guess what? It was hard for your parents, too. You were no picnic either. But when it's all said and done, and at the end of the day, don't ever forget, children are a blessing. They are a gift from God. I was in a Walmart. Maybe that was my problem. I don't know. But I was in a Walmart one time. You know, Walmart attracts some interesting people. I was there, so of course that means there was some interesting people. But I was in a Walmart one time, and there was a lady that had a child in her cart. And I don't have any idea what kind of day that lady'd had. It may have been just a terrible day. Who knows? I have no idea what she'd been through. I have no idea what kind of trouble that child had been giving her all day. I have no idea. But what I do know is what I heard coming from her mouth was absolutely unacceptable. The way she spoke to this gift. This child is a gift of God to her. You are a brat. You are absolutely, you are driving me absolutely crazy. Now listen, I understand we all lose it sometimes. I get it. Sometimes you have to bite your lip to keep from saying that thing that you might want to say. But this woman over, I don't even know how, just over and over speaking such harsh negativity, speaking damnation and cursings. The Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And she's telling this child that he's a brat, and then wonder why he act like a brat. You have just confirmed that he has your permission to be that way. Telling him that he's worthless, and then wondering why he ends up in prison. You pronounced that over him, mama. You spoke that cursing into his life and into her life, and then wonder why they turn away from God. Understand this, moms and dads. Your children are a gift. They are a blessing. They are to be loved. They are to be nurtured. They are not to be abused. They are not to be spoken of with such harsh language. God help you. Bible says if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and throw yourself into the lake. That's how God feels about these precious, innocent children. Tread lightly, mom and dad. They're a gift. And the only rightful thing to do with a gift that we get from God is to give it back. Give it back. Did anybody else feel, whenever that first child was born, did anybody else have this panic run through you and say, my God, what am I doing? I'm still a child myself. I was 27? almost 27? But I felt like, I still need my daddy. I still need my mama. What in the world? We've brought a child into this world. What on earth are we doing? Anybody else feel ill-equipped and unprepared? I still do at times. I think, my God, what in the world are we doing? And so I can tell you, it has brought us over the years great joy to know that these gifts that God has given to us, that really all he wants in exchange is for us to just give them back. How does that apply to me? I'm not a mother. Well, understand, God does all kinds of wonderful things in your life. He shows you favor with a spouse. You're welcome, by the way. On behalf of the church, you're welcome. Sorry. He brings people and relationships. He gives talents and opportunities and jobs and all kinds of ways that God blesses you. Your only right response is to turn around and give it back to him. Lord, I thank you for this job, and I'm going to do this as unto the Lord. I'm going to do this to get the job done, but more than anything, I'm going to do this to bring honor to you. Lord, even in this, whatever it is I'm doing, even in this, whatever blessing it is you've given to me, Lord, even in this, be glorified. If he's given you the ability to sing, give it back to him. If he's given you the ability to teach, teach for the glory of God. Whatever giftings, whatever opportunities, whatever blessings he's poured into your life, give it back to him. It's really the only appropriate response. And then the final observation, I know. Hang with me. The final observation that I made is simply this one. That the dedication to the Lord begins before birth and lasts a lifetime. From the very moment of conception, as a believer, from the very moment of conception, our children ought to be set apart unto the Lord. And in this way, dedication of our children to the Lord is more of a heart issue than a ceremony. Now, I know we like to do the ceremonies. You know, we have people come forward and we say, look, Mom, here's a carnation. And look, Dad, and here's a certificate. And let the preacher hold the baby. And I get all, and I love baby dedications, by the way. So if anybody wants to do a baby dedication, I'm good. So I'd be happy to help you out there. Baby dedications, I really like them. But understand, that's just the ceremonial part of what's actually already taken place internally. Internally, from the very beginning, that child belongs to God. God gave it to me, I'm going to give it right back to him. Lord, he or she, that child belonged to you from now until the day they die. Hannah said it this way, before you even give me a child, he belongs to you. She wasn't even pregnant yet. And that child that didn't even yet exist, she had already dedicated that child to the Lord. Well, one of the good things about that, I'll just be very honest with you. One of the things I really like about this whole idea of our children belonging to the Lord is I like to remind the Lord of that. When they get sick, Lord, your child is sick. I'm serious. Because look, if I've got to deal with that on my own, I have no idea how to get rid of a fever. I mean, I understand medicine and all that. I have no idea. If they get the flu, I have no idea how to. I can't fix the flu. We have five children total, but three of our children have type 1 diabetes. I'll be honest with you. My wife, she's on the forefront of helping to manage that with them. But we have no idea how to deal with that. Chasing high blood sugars and treating low blood sugars and insulin in the middle of the night. And it's a 24-hour thing. And lady, I love you. We don't know how to fix that. We can't fix that. Children with diseases and problems and mental issues. I don't know how to fix that. Lord, your child is sick. Lord, your child's got a fever. Fix it. Or that child that you pour the word of God into them from the beginning of their life, and yet they still walk away. And in spite of everything you've done, And in spite of what they know and every seed of the gospel that's been planted in their life, they still become wayward. Now you can pace the floor and worry and fret and nag them to death over that. Or you can say, God, that child's yours. Your child is wayward. Your child is in rebellion. Get a hold of your child, God. Hey, you can't fix it. You can only nag them and drive them further away. But there's a God who can speak to them in a place that you can't go. There's a God who can keep them up at night. Listen, listen. There's a God that can keep them up at night and give them no peace. Well, that doesn't sound like a very loving, fatherly thing to pray. If your child is on the way to hell, you don't want them to sleep. God, keep them up all night. Make them restless. Don't give them no peace for their mind. Don't give them any rest for their body. Let all the food make them sick. Let everything they do fall apart until they make it right with you. God, this is your child. Get a hold of them. I can't do it. I have paced the floor. I have worried. I have prayed. I have nagged them to death, and it isn't working. They know. They know there's a seed that's still there. God, get a hold of them. Water that seed. Let it begin to sprout and bring forth newness of life in them. And you can do that because he belongs to God. She belongs to God. It's God's child. And so you can just simply say, Lord, your child is sick. God, your child is wayward. God, your child needs direction. They don't know what they're going to do in life. God, give your child some wisdom. Guide your child with your hand. This is your child. You've given me the blessing of being with them for a few years. But from the very moment of conception, all the way through the end of their life, they belong to you, God. They're your child. Boy, that's a great relief to me. To know that I don't have to sit up late and I don't have to worry myself to death over things that I can't do anything about. That's God's child. Mama, that's God's child. Daddy, that's God's child. So they're in God's hands for healing, for salvation, for their career path, for their spouse, for their ministry, for their waywardness, for everything in their life. God, they belong to you. So I encourage you, each of us, I encourage us, mothers, non-mothers alike, remember the work that God has begun in you. And be reminded that he will be faithful to complete it. From the moment of birth, God set you apart. And it is God's intention to continue to work in your life even today. Understand, it's not over until he's accomplished his work in you. But you don't understand. You're right, I don't understand. But neither do you understand my situation. But there's someone who understands all of our situations. There's a God who is at work behind the scenes. But you don't know, it's been so long for me. I think my time has passed. Are you still breathing? Your time is not past. It may be that God is calling us all into a new season. So, there's the challenge. Be reminded that there's a sovereign God at work. There's a sovereign God at work, and he can open doors that no one else can open. And he can keep closed the doors that you think are just right for you, but he knows are filled with danger on the other side. Trust the hand of a sovereign, loving God. Trust God. Recognize that God is bringing all kinds of gifts into your life. Some of them are shaped like children. Otherwise, God is doing all kinds of wonderful things and bringing all kinds of opportunities and gifts and blessings into your life. And the only appropriate response is to say, God, thank you. I'm going to give it right back to you in every way that I can. And then finally, the understanding that the work that God has started, listen, the dedication to God may have had a starting point, but it's not finished until it's finished. Pray for those children. Trust them to the hands of God. He can do what you can't do. Every unfulfilled promise, give it back to God. Trust God. God, you said, whether it's a child or an opportunity, God, you said, now take care of it. This is your promise. I didn't start this. You started it. Now finish it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. What I was wanting to do, I don't know. Let's just close it out here. But what I was thinking we would do is if you're standing next to a spouse or a mom or a dad. I know we have Father's Day coming up next month, and we'll love on our fathers then. But today, for our mothers in particular, you're standing next to a spouse or next to a mom or someone who is a mom, maybe not your mom, but a mom who is special in your life. Just kind of grab their hand or put an arm around their shoulder, and let's just pray a prayer blessing over our moms today. Can we do that? Lord, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for our moms and our grandmoms, and for whether they're biological or adopted, or whether they're not biological or adopted, but they're just someone special in our life. Lord, we just thank you for all of these wonderful moms. However that came to be, Lord, we recognize your sovereign hand at work. And so we bless all of the moms here today. All of the mothers, we bless them in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you're doing a great work among us and among them. I pray that this week that our mothers would be blessed abundantly, that they would have supernatural strength and supernatural wisdom, that they would learn to continue to call on you with every struggle and every hardship that they face. Lord, relieve them of the burden of thinking that they are ultimately responsible for their children. But Lord, release into them the freedom that comes with knowing these children belong to you. And we trust you with our children, Lord. We trust you with our children, Lord. We trust you with our children, Lord. Father, we pray special blessing today. There's some that are going to be going out to eat and spending time with moms, and we pray you bless them in abundant, abundant ways today. Thank you for today and all that it has meant and all that you will continue to do in our lives. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Hug someone's neck. God bless you.